dead air. I mean, I feel like that's been done, but...
It has, I'm sure. But fuck it. I mean... Who cares?
Who cares?
How many episodes of television shows are called Tabula Rasa or whatever?
What?
Don't worry about it.
Was that a Ravi Shankar song?
It's the most... What's that?
Was that a Ravi Shankar song?
It's it means blank slate, and I think it's the most common name for a television episode.
That word that you said before?
Yeah, tabula rasa.
I've never heard a show called Tabula Rasa.
Well, do you usually pay attention to the episode name of a show when you watch it?
No.
Well, there you go.
Oh, so you're saying the names of episodes are most likely called... Okay, anyway. What was I just going to say?
We're saying dead air, so...
Yeah.
Okay, let's get us started.
It should be a really annoying late-night radio host.
Okay, all right, so... annoying in what way?
I think we already did an episode like that.
Well, you know what? It's fine, because that one is archived, and... I'm not sure that one's ever coming out of the vault.
Oh.
Because the quality, it's not really good quality.
That was the one with Furlong, I think.
No. We did the Furlong episode.
It might
have
been the same
day. And
that
one never came out because it was really bad.
Yeah.
I actually never went back and listened to it.
It's so probably
maybe
great.
It might be good.
I think it marinated.
I don't know. Well, don't worry about it. Like, let's stick to this story.
Okay. Man, I just chugged a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I might have to run to take a shit.
Well, you shit pretty quick.
I do, right?
Yeah. Okay, so
let's
do this.
You timed me?
Let's do this.
Okay.
He's an annoying radio host. So I'm imagining, like, a Morton Downey Jr. type. I guess I'm thinking about that... that Tales from the Crypt episode mm-hmm. that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
But like a shock jock, we're thinking, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's because it's late night and he's got to keep the ratings, you know?
So this is a radio host. Is this nowadays? Like, because...
Well, I mean, it's got to be 90s.
Okay, all right. So like what are we thinking? Like 1992?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Sorry, I got really excited.
Yeah, okay. So like early 90s... We got a late night radio host. Now, what is the theme of this show that he hosts?
I think it should be, maybe he's an asshole and like, his whole thing is like, call me up and see if you can like handle my assholeness.
Okay, all right.
You know, he just kind of like berates you.
So what's the name of that show?
It's called. The Morton Downey Jr. Show.
It's called Stay on the Line. And it's
Hold the line.
Yeah, hold the line. And like people call up and like they like tell him like a little spiel about their life and he goes, okay. And he just listens for a minute. And then afterwards he tells them off for like 3 minutes. And if they can stay on the line for that whole 3 minutes.
They win tickets to like whatever the new concert was.
Yeah, and no one can. He's so cruel. He like has this gift for like really just tearing people down, getting to their absolute most, you know, hidden insecurities.
Yeah. And now this time this episode is based on because there's a really like the most popular band like in the country. Like it's going to be a made up band. They're coming to the local stadium, mm-hmm. and he's got the only last tickets, you know, kind of like the golden ticket in Willy Wonka. He's got the last one, you know, and it's a real, this is the big one. You're like, if you can stay on the line tonight, then you win the tickets to, what should the name of the band be?
The Golden Thorns.
Yes, the
Golden. Oh, and also, can I just say... I think that like a a big part of the story is that people do not believe that his show is real. Like, they think it's scripted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they used to say about... Because no one's ever won.
Yeah. And, yeah, because it's like, why don't you just do it? Deal with it.
Yeah, but he is actually just... He just has this gift where
he's so annoying.
He's so cruel.
Yeah, so cruel. And he's like... He kind of like is a cold reader. He does like cold reading. So he actually do very small little snippets of questions in the beginning. And he uses that to just like dig into like, he like, you know, everybody's like kind of the same. So he like, you know, brings up like common shit that's probably going on in your life. And it always just works.
His name is Cruel Mike.
Cruel Mike, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What about Cruel Eddie?
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
Okay. All right. So, I guess we open up, and over the credits are just, like, different shots of the studio. He's smoking cigarettes, and we're just hearing these calls. And people are kind of telling him a little bit about themselves, and that part's kind of calm. And then it goes into, like, him just ripping them apart and them sobbing and hanging up. And we show, like, maybe four of these calls just to establish that this is what the show is about.
Yeah, yeah. And we kind of and we keep cutting back to the producer and you know the not the producer the engineer in the control room, and he's just like sitting there smoking a cigarette, just like.
Oh, I feel. Do you think the engineer should be a man? I feel like that would be, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I saw would have him like as a, like
okay,
an overweight guy that, who like kind of looks like he hates his job.
Because I thought that would be a good the producer. It would be like a Fraser Roz thing. Like we could have an early '90s woman in there.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, see, that's different than the board engineer.
Okay, so there's two.
Yeah, there's a guy,
engineer and there's a producer.
Yeah, it's a chubby guy controlling the board. He's smoking a cigarette. He's got the headphones on, and then next to him is the lady producer.
What's she like? What's her vibe?
Well, you know, it's a late show, so she's got to be kind of weird.
Yeah, she's like...
Like, who? What woman in her early 40s is going to, like, stay at a radio station?
Well, maybe she's not in her early 40s. Maybe she's in her early 30s, and she's, like, a perky, but, kind of...
Yeah, yeah. There's a throwaway line where she's just like, oh, once I get through this shit, then I can get my, you know... She's just trying to, like, put her hours in to get, like, her daytime show, you know?
Okay. Yes.
You know, everyone's got to start at the bottom.
I don't think hosts start as producers, but we're getting hung up on it. No, she's a producer, but we're getting hung up. Drop it.
But listen, she just has a throwaway line with the board engineer. She's just like, because as he's like doing his bit, they're like, you can tell from them that they're not, they just hate him because everyone hates him.
Everyone hates him. He's Cruel Eddie. Okay, so the show ends. He takes his headphones off. He takes off his cans, and she comes up, and she goes, you're pretty harsh on that last guy. And he goes, baby, I'm harsh to them all. And he lights his Marlboro Red, and she goes, so what are you not giving away tonight? And he pulls out. A set of keys, and he goes, a Suzuki motorcycle. And they're like, geez, like, I can't believe the station keeps giving you this stuff that you don't even have to give away. And he's like, yeah, well, they're not anymore. And she's like, why? He's like, they're on to me. They're just buying me gifts at this point. Nobody's won anything. And she goes, that's not your fault. And then she stops for a second. She's like, or is it?
Yes.
Eddie, a lot of people are saying this show is scripted. And he goes, it's not scripted. I'm just the best. The best at being an asshole. And then we hear like a guitar riff as he's walking out into the halls. And she follows behind him. She goes, but if there's no more prizes... What are you going to promise people? How are you going to get people to sit there while you berate them? And he goes, well, that's the thing. I mean, the station seems to think there just doesn't need to be prizes, so I can make them up.
The prizes never existed.
Well, no, they did. Now they don't anymore.
Yeah. Well, this actually, this is leads on to something great because, well, go on. We'll get to it.
So she goes, so you're just going to make up prizes now? And he goes, what's the difference? No one's ever able to sit through it. And she's like, well, one day someone's going to be able to. And he goes, what, you? And then he looks at her. He goes, you know what your problem is? And her lip, like, quivers a little bit because she worries that he's about to, like, unload on her. Like, he does to everybody. And he goes, you need to relax. And then he walks out.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, okay, so then, this is the end of the day? The night?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, this is the opening scene.
Okay, so that's the next day now. And...
Wait, I think we should just get a quick shot of his life, like, outside the studio.
I think we're going to say his legs.
Yeah. He's got these long, just beautiful legs.
Throw in a quick shot of his legs, and then we'll continue. Okay. A shot of his life? Fuck it. No, sure. No, like, whatever. Go on. Just, what do you see?
It doesn't have to be much. It's just, like, him, maybe he's in, maybe he's, like... You know, he has a driver. He's, like, doing that well enough. It's New York City in 1992. It's Manhattan. You know, he just... Yeah,
and he lives in a shitty apartment.
No, he lives... Dude, no, he's rich.
Really?
Yes, this is a really popular show.
Oh. Well, okay. I don't think he's rich.
And he's rich. You know, a dollar doesn't go that far in Manhattan. So it's not, like, beautiful. But, like, he's got a nice place.
Okay.
Yeah. Think about, like, he's like a little bit better off than, like, Seinfeld is in Seinfeld.
Right.
Yeah.
Not flashy, but he's
doing pretty fucking good.
He's comfortable.
He has a driver, like, in this one scene, but or maybe it's just a car service, you know?
Yeah, it's a car service.
Yeah.
Have a good night, Mr. Eddie.
Yeah, yeah, and then he pulls into, then he walks up to his apartment, he takes the elevator up to his apartment, he lights a cigarette, he looks out at the city, and he just says, fuck you.
Yeah.
and then fade to black. So we know he just hates everyone in that fucking city.
Yeah. So now it's the next night, he's going into work.
Yeah.
So he, like, goes in, you know, he sits down at his desk, he's getting all position ready. he doesn't have showtime for another 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the board engineer comes in and he goes, Mr. Eddie, what's the producer's name?
Who cares? Dale.
No, it's a woman.
Oh, Dale. She's a girl named Dale.
Yeah. Miss Weinstein, Miss Dale Weinstein.
Interesting mix of names.
Yes, Miss Weinstein needs to see you immediately. And he's like, "What? Okay, fine." He's like, "What the fuck does she want?" He goes, "She needs to see us." And then so they all go into the office. And then she's sitting at the table with this big white stack of paper, and she's like, "We just got the ratings." You know, but he's got the ratings in. And she's like, we're down 2 points this time around or whatever. And she basically has this, like, whole thing where she's like, we need to spice up the show. Like, we need to do something. You need to just do something to spice up the show. And what I'm trying to get at is that he pretends to have these tickets, but he doesn't really have the tickets, you know, for the concert.
Yeah, we don't need all of this. All of this, like, you need something to spice up the show. Because we've already established this, like, that the station's not giving him stuff anymore. So, like, we don't need this,
This is significant because he's pretending to have the tickets for the show, and obviously the person who stays on the line now is demanding the tickets, which don't exist.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is we don't need this explanation for that because I already set that up, and the station's not giving him gifts anymore. You're not giving him... prizes anymore. Don't worry. When we actually... This is our first draft. We can keep this for now. It's getting us to the same place. In the second draft, maybe we'll streamline it. Jerry?
Gotcha.
All right. All right. So, yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so he's going on tonight, and he is he's supposed to have the Golden Thorns tickets, right?
Yes.
That's what he's claiming anyway.
Well, yeah, so he goes on the air. He goes, "Oh, we've got something special for you tonight, folks. Golden Horn tickets for anyone who can stand in line dealing with Crazy Eddie." That's the sound effect he always pushes.
And then
we cut to the producer and the engineer guy looking at each other like, "What?" Because they're like, "What? Why would he say that? That's like the most hot, that's the hottest concert in town. Like, he's got to really fucking pull through now."
What? No, dude. He's never lost. He's been doing this for years. No one's, like, I guess. Okay. All right, fine.
Jesus Christ, we're making a movie here. You just want to get to points. You don't want any filler.
I'm editing as we go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yes.
We have to get the audience on the same track that this is, like, impossible, and he's taking a risk right now, like, lying like this.
Okay. All right. Go on.
So then, you know, it should be, like, one or two calls that he just berates a person, and they hang up immediately, and he just laughs at them. And then the third call is, you know, his worst nightmare.
Okay, so what's this caller like? Are they masculine, feminine, old,
it's like,
young?
It sounds like a man who's just like this.
It's a man. He's like this. He's kind of disinterested.
Yeah. And it sounds like he's smoking a cigarette, maybe.
He sounds like he's smoking a cigarette. And he goes, "Okay, numbnuts, what's your story?" He's like, "My story? I'm just like anyone else in this city. A loser. Piece of shit."
Oh, yeah. He comes off immediately as, like, berating himself almost.
Just waiting. Waiting to be swallowed up. Yeah. And then Eddie goes, okay, very deep. This is the most trite bullshit I ever heard. Oh, I bet you live off daddy's dime and you dye your hair black and you write poetry all day. Is that right? So he starts going off on it, and the guy goes, "Not quite.
Yes,
I live in a little room by myself, and that's warm and nice." And he goes, "Oh, warm and nice. It's a little room. It's warm and nice. You know what that describes? You know what that sounds like? Something I bet you don't get a lot of."
Yeah, and he goes, "Crazy song."
And he goes, "I've had lovers, but not anymore. No one will touch me." And he goes, "No one would touch you. No one." I mean, I can't. Come on, help me out here.
I'm just listening. I like it.
No one would touch you. Well, you're touching me with this sob story. What do you want, baby? You want me to cry for you? Yeah. And he goes, "No."
We're constantly cutting back and forth to, well, not constantly, one or two times we cut to the engineer and the producer lady just completely, you know, it's just another day at the show. They're just disinterested. The guy's smoking a cigarette, just like Lindy Ashfall on his big belly.
Yeah, he goes,
and this conversation's still going on.
"I don't want you to cry."
Wait. There's got to be a time limit that these people have before they win.
It's 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
you didn't say that. You got to let it out of your brain.
No, I did say that in the beginning. Oh, you did? Yeah,
we'll check the tapes later.
Okay. So where's this conversation go?
Well, it's like kind of a reverse psychology thing. At some point, the berating turns very mildly towards Eddie, and this guy gains control of the conversation.
Yeah, I think maybe he goes, like, he's like, "No, you want me to cry for me?" Yeah.
No. I was going to say, he just made one or two specific details about about Eddie's life that no one really knows, that he, like, vaguely mentions, maybe. And then Eddie's like, "Okay, I'm listening, tough guy."
Okay, what's that sound like?
Well, what we had the little glimpse of Eddie's life in the beginning. Did we see something?
Just that he hates everybody.
Yeah, but there's got to be a detail.
He goes, do you want me to cry for you? And he goes, no. And, I want you to cry for you.
Maybe his mother died when he's little. And no one knows it.
You know? Okay, then make that into dialogue.
Well, get me started.
No.
Well, he's like, yeah, just like the way you cried for your mama when she died.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing a new character. That's so. Anyway, no. What the conversation goes is he just kind of describes how empty Eddie's inner life is. How he just hates everyone. How like he can't even jack off anymore because he can't imagine getting excited by another person.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes, it probably comes from, you know, the early death of your mother.
Leave that out of it.
Whoa.
It's just boring. Like, I don't know. If you want that in there, but I think it's a miserable guy. Like, just so that's what we're focusing on for a second.
Yeah, but there's got to be something why he gets under Eddie's skin. I mean, just calling him miserable?
I think this would get under his skin. He's just saying, like, you're fucking really unhappy. You have nothing in your life that you like.
Yeah, yeah, he keeps going. And okay, so then Eddie's, like, for some reason, it's, like, out of character for him. He's just, like, kind of frozen.
Yeah.
Listening. He like, falls into a trance of, like, listening to this guy.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to the engineer and the producer.
And a 3-minute, an alarm goes off, and they go, what?
Well, we look back at the engineer and the producer, and the producer's, like, slapping her wrist where the watch is, you know, with her two fingers, like, pointing to, like, Eddie, like, and they're kind of freaking out, because, like, we're at, like, 2.5 minutes now.
Yeah.
And Eddie's just, like, he, like, kind of shakes his head, and it's like, okay, yeah, you little piece of shit.
Yeah, 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 and he goes, I'll take my tickets now.
Yeah, and then, like, we all of a sudden hear an alarm that we've never heard before, like,
well, no, the alarm goes every time, because, one's ever stayed the whole time. Yeah, so the producers are like, what is that?
Yeah.
And they're like, that's the alarm. No one's ever stayed for the whole 3 minutes.
Yeah, this is actually interesting, because it's a non-verbal titular line. Because the alarm goes off and then it's just dead air silence.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's just like, we cut to the producer and the engineer just like wide open mouth, and just, you know, his cigarette is just like ashing on his stomach, just burning. And then we cut to Eddie, who's just like kind of just staring at the clock that says 00 or 3 minutes, like stuck on that. And then it's just, you know, dead air. And then all of a sudden we hear, so when do I get my tickets?
Yeah.
And then, well, now what happens?
He goes, the producer takes over, and they're like, we have a first. She holds it together. We have a first. This is the first person to sit it out with Cruel Eddie. We'll have your tickets to you.
Right after this. And they cut to some weird commercial break.
Yeah, yeah. And then Eddie just runs out of the studio and starts throwing up in the bathroom.
Really?
Not if you don't want him to.
I just feel like he's a little stronger than that.
Well, okay, so what does he do? Because he's supposed to be pretty freaked out.
Yeah, he just takes his headphones off and throws them on the desk and like kind of like leans back in his office chair. And he's just like, he has this look of complete baffled look on his face.
Yeah, and then Dale comes out, and she's like, you have to get those fucking tickets.
No, she goes, in my office now.
Okay.
And then they go into the office, and then she's pacing. She's like, what the fuck are we going to do?
It's up to the studio, and they're like, no, the studio stopped providing gifts because they believed in you. And they didn't tell you to promise the most hard to find concert tickets in the goddamn country.
So, I mean, we could have dug in the the station's money box, and we could have bought a fucking Mitsubishi motorcycle. Why did you have to say something about the tickets?
So no, Cruel Eddie, this is on you.
He goes,
what did he say that got to you?
Yeah, he goes, then, what the fuck? Why did you freeze up? The whole point in the show is that you berate people. What the fuck happened? And everyone just, you know, it's just like a very confusing situation. So what does Eddie say?
Eddie goes, I'm going home. And he goes, well, no, if you're going, you could go home, but you better come back here with a plan on how to get those damn tickets.
He goes, I'm
going home. Show's over.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going home. She's like, get the fucking tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we show him at home. He's having a drink. He's having a smoke, and he's making some calls trying to get the tickets. And person after person says, I can't help you. Can't help you. Are you kidding me? He's like, no, those have been sold out for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But then the third call he makes is an old friend who mentions like, yeah, maybe I could help you out.
Do you have some place you're going with that?
Yeah, I was going to get him involved with some shady characters.
I'm going to... Is it okay if I steer some... Just,
sure.
I mean, I don't necessarily... I just think he should give up and go to bed.
Jesus Christ.
No, and then the phone rings, and it's the caller.
Okay.
And the caller says, Eddie, and he goes, who the hell is this? He's like, we talked earlier. He's like, listen, Sickle, how'd you get my number? And he's like, I want those tickets, Eddie. He's like, well, I can't get them between you and me.
Wait,
so
just
how
this? Okay, sorry.
So how about this? You show up at the studio tomorrow. I'll give you the cash value for them. And he goes, I don't care about the cash value of them. I want you to do whatever it is you have to do to get those tickets. I think it would be good for you.
Yeah, and I think it'd be funny every now and then, like, when a person's in a room with a TV on, or like if they're walking down a street, we'll see like billboards for like what's the name of the band?
The Golden Thorns.
Golden Thorns, and it's just like,
okay, all right. I don't really know where we're going.
Well, that's why I was gonna get him involved with some like shady characters.
Okay, all right. Oh, yeah. Maybe these characters are really shady.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yes, okay. So, like, these are, like, real goth vampire people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there'll be all sorts of stuff, maybe. But anyway, the caller gives him a number to call, basically. He goes, call this guy. He might be able to help you out. So he makes a call.
Wait, the caller is helping him get him his tickets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the caller, we don't know what the caller's actual motivations are. The caller has made it pretty clear he doesn't actually care about seeing the band. He just wants he wants Eddie to have to get those tickets. And he's going to keep him on the line for it.
Yeah, but why would Eddie even care? This guy...
Because he's going to lose his show if he doesn't get it for him.
Hmm. Sure.
Well, we established that already.
I know, it just seems... Okay.
I mean, it's...
It just seems weird that the pressure is coming from the guy. The pressure should be coming from the people who hold his job in his hand.
It is. No, the pressure is coming from the people that hold the job for him. But the guy could take the pressure off by just not claiming the prize. But the guy is claiming the prize because he has some interest in making Eddie go through this kind of journey to get the... tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spiritual journey.
Yeah, something like that. So, Eddie calls this number, and then we fade to black. Like we hear
black.
We
just,
what?
You said black.
Yeah, Jerry. We both talk weird. We both have weird accents and probably speech impediments.
Impediments.
Because I have to edit these, and I'll say something, oh, it's awkward. And you'll be like, oh, it's awkward. And it's like, Jerry, you talk like a fucking monkey.
Oh, Oh, that's good. All right, anyway.
Yeah, you got me all riled up. All right. So then so he makes the call. We don't actually hear the phone call, but we fade to black. And then he's going. Now he's in the city, and
everywhere he goes, he sees these the signs for the show, and he's like getting more nervous because it's like constant reminder everywhere he fucking looks.
Yeah, he's like, you know, it looks like maybe like the Bowery or something. Like it's like you know,
Junkie,
it's like
Hooker Central.
Yeah, it's like subcultural, and he has to go to this like little like club. It's like, you know, like almost like a CBGB's, but like, you know, way less
shit in the bathroom.
But way less like well known and like
is
way
that your
more
mic?
What?
Hold on. Never mind.
I just moved my mic.
No, it's a noise. I think something outside. Car. Yeah. So he's getting constantly reminded that this band's coming.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah. I was so, just referring. Never mind.
So he like has to go into this club, and it's like, you know, it's like this weird kind of like gothy, punky people in it, but it's a little weirder than that even, you know? Like, there's get-ups in there that even us in 2022 have never quite seen before. He's asking, you know, this girl starts dancing with him. He kind of gets into that for a second. And then she stabs him in the arm with, like, a really little knife. And he's like, oh, what the fuck? And then she laughs and runs off. And so just to let you know, this is a fucked up place.
Mm-hmm.
And he like pulls it out, and it's a really little knife. Like, he's fine. Like, he doesn't really have to tend to it. But he goes to the bathroom to like clean it off. And there's this tall guy with long, like bleach blonde hair. And he's wearing like white suspenders, like, he's just like a really kind of weird, all over the place look. And the guy goes, "You Cruel Eddie?" He's like, "Yeah, you a listener?" He's like, "We talked earlier." And he goes, "Oh, you're the caller's friend." And he goes, "I don't know about friend.
Acquaintance."
Wow. I feel like that sentence didn't need to be finished. Maybe his name is Quaintance.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Quaintance. Quaintance Lowry.
And Eddie's like, "You just made that up." Yeah, what of it?
And he goes, "Well, you got the tickets?" And he was like, "No." And he's like, "What am I wasting my time here for?" He's like, "But I can bring you in the right direction. Come with me." And they walk into a bathroom stall. He's like, "Whoa, guy, listen. I got an open mind, but..." He's like, "Come with me if you want your show to stay on the air." God damn it. He's again annoyed. So he walks into the stall with him. But you find that the stall actually brings you to a staircase that brings you to another, even freakier, underground club. With no music, but still... Oh, there's dancing, but the music is very, very low. And the people are freakier.
I'd love to see the scene in your head right now.
Wait. The people are freakier, and they're not quite human. Like, it's dark, so, like, there's enough plausible deniability that he could be like, "These are just costumes." But, like, they're kind of monsters.
Yeah.
Like they have tails or, like these long, like, head pieces. Like, they're all sorts of, like, weird shapes. And they're dancing, and there's, like, a strobe light.
And he's still holding his arm bleeding.
It's not bleeding that bad, but he's, like... What the hell? He's like, "What the hell is this place?" And then they walk through the crowd. So we're getting all of these cool shots where you're just barely making out these creatures. You know, like in the Mouth of Madness, when you see the creatures from like the other reality, but you can only see them for like little bits. Mm-hmm. It's like that.
It's called No Budget.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that movie had a decent budget. But it's being frugal, I suppose. Well, it's also like, it would be ridiculous if he just saw a club full of monsters dancing and got a clear look at them, you know?
Yeah, bright light, bright hospital lighting.
Yeah, these are like somewhere between like Predator and Alien and Garbage Pail Kids. Mm.
I think hospitals should have more mood lighting, don't you think?
So we walk through this crowd, but then we walk out back, and it's so weird. Like, now we've exited the club, and it's an alley, but it's clearly, like, such a different environment. Like, it's, maybe it's even not quite New York City anymore. It's totally, totally abandoned on all sides. And it's really misty. And he goes, listen, man, I just want these tickets so I could fucking take my arm to urgent care. And he goes, it's not my job to get you the tickets. It's your job to get yourself the tickets. I'm just here to help you out. And he goes, well, fucking help me out then. He's like, well, I've done all I can do. And he walks back into the club and closes the door. And then Cruelletti tries to open the door and it doesn't open. So now he's alone in this alleyway, and it's weird, it's dreamlike, it's like this strange environment, and he's banging on the door, he's screaming on the door, and this figure starts approaching him from the mist, this shadowy figure.
Mm-hmm. Scared.
And then he sees him. He sees him far off. He goes, stop right there. Like, he goes, I got a gun. He goes, no, you don't. Like, he goes, you don't have a gun. You're just scared. And he goes, I just want the fucking concert tickets. And he goes, you don't care about the concert tickets. You just want your show, so you could live, so you can keep your standard of living, your nice apartment, the silk sheets. Why? You're still miserable. And he goes, that's my right. That's my goddamn right to be miserable.
I'm a New Yorker, for God's sakes.
Yeah. And he goes, is it? Who told you have that right?
I have some news for you. You were actually born in Jersey. And Eddie freaks out.
He go, and this figure from the shadow is talking to him, and he's saying, you have nothing but bile and darkness inside of you. And every night, you get on the radio and spread it to millions of listeners. And then they go to work and spill it all over their coworkers, or all over their children, or all over their communities. You are a cancer. And he goes, well, I'm a... Then call me tumor, but I'm a fucking cancer that needs those tickets, and I've done... I've followed the instructions, so help me out. He goes, I'll help you out. But first, let me see your arm. And the shadow starts approaching really fast. And then we just see Eddie, we see it like from the perspective of like the shadow. And we just see Eddie's screaming face, and then Eddie's opening eyes. He's in an ambulance.
Mhm.
And they got the light in his eyes. He sits up, and he's breathing heavy. And they're like, "Sit, lay back down, sir. Lay back down." He's like, "Get the hell off me!" And then he realizes he's holding the tickets in his hand.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then?
So
he's in the ambulance?
Yeah, so then we cut to the hospital and his producer's meeting him there.
And it's strange because there is mood lighting in the hospital.
and she's like, why'd you call me? And he's like, they wouldn't let me discharge myself. And she's like, you don't have any friends or family? And he just kind of gives her a look. And so he's, you know, she's like, did you make any headway on the tickets? And he hands them to her. It's like, Eddie, this is amazing. How'd you get these? And like he's about to put his shirt on, and he just looks down at like the stab wound in his arm, and she goes, oh, he's like, I guess it was pretty rough.
I bled for these tickets. Let's just say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the climax, the worst thing that happened in this film is that he got stabbed with a Swiss Army knife.
This is like just the first act of the movie.
Oh, jeez. I might have to go poop then. I'm serious. Do you mind if I take a 2-minute?
Yeah, yeah. Think about where this is going.
All right. I've got wet wipes, so I'll literally be back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Dude, like
everyone you know is more resilient than you think.
Like, that's a good quote. Put it on my tombstone.
But you know what I want on my tombstone? Death is impossible.
Jerry always said, death is impossible, but yet here he lays.
Okay, so I'm thinking we come from the hospital. And now we're it's the next night. It's at the station, and you know, he's getting ready for his show, and he's talking to his producer. And he's like, listen, I need you to screen people a little bit better. I can't have another embarrassment like that night. And they're like, I don't know what you want us to screen for. We've never had someone that could get to you like that. But hey, you know what? Oh. It's kind of on you. Yeah. You're going to have to nut up and not fold like that again. Because
I was talking to the executives upstairs, and they strongly suggested that we start scripting the show.
No. No, everyone already thinks the show is scripted. Okay, fine.
Yeah, but now they can't take any risks like last night.
And then she goes, and frankly, everyone thinks it's scripted anyway.
Yeah. She's like trying to ease him into it.
And he goes, well, how are the ratings? She's like, well, actually, they're huge because
now people think that they kind of like when you lose.
Yeah, it makes it feel real. So she's all over the place. We're gonna have to fix that up when we finally write this. But he goes, well, I don't like losing, so try.
And I don't read from fucking scripts, god damn it.
I can't read.
Can't read.
He says, did you get rid of those tickets? And she goes, no, our caller never came to pick them up. And he's like, I bled for those tickets. And now they're just sitting there. And she's like, you know, I guess if he doesn't pick them up tomorrow night, they're yours. He's like, I don't want to see that stupid band. He's like, I don't want to. He's like, I hate music.
He's like, I cut my hair in '82 and never looked back.
Yeah, so he gets a few callers, and we show like a montage showing it's just like any other night. He's killing it. He's ripping these people apart. Some of these are like sad stories, and he's going like really harsh on them, like really showing you this is a son of a bitch with no heart. And finally, the original caller calls back, and he goes, oh, it's you. Hey, you know, we got these tickets for you. You gonna come and claim them? And he goes, I don't want the tickets. And he goes, oh, okay. Well, you know, tonight all we're giving away is is a new surfboard. Do you surf? He goes, I don't surf. And he goes, great. Well, then get the hell off my line. And he goes, no. I want to challenge you. And he goes, oh, that's not how this works. And he goes, well, nonetheless, I want to challenge you. I stayed on the line with you for 3 minutes. I'm wondering if you could stay on the line with me for five. And he goes, listen, buddy, I don't have time for this. And he goes, I'm pretty confident you'll make time. And then he hangs up on him. He hangs up on the caller. And then, you know, we cut again. Dude, he's taking the car service home and the radio's on. And there's some other, you know, some other radio host talking. And they're like, words out in the city, Cruel Eddie's a pansy. He won't accept the challenge. He's too afraid of getting his feelings hurt. And Cruel Eddie's like, can you turn this off? And the driver turns it off and, you know, turns on some like reggaeton or something. And then we cut to Cruel Eddie. He's laying in darkness, you know, just the lights from outside are lighting him while he's having a cigarette in bed. He gets a call. He picks up the phone. He goes, what? It's the caller again. He's like, you're not going to last. He goes, I'm not taking the challenge. I don't need the last. He's like, no, I mean your show is not gonna last. Your way of life isn't gonna last. If everybody's laughing at you, no one's gonna tune in. Then where will you be? All you have is your things and your show and your stupid name.
So you better get used to dead air, Eddie.
And then the phone hangs up. Then we cut to the next night. We're in the station. He's just finishing up with a caller. They're sobbing. He goes, take your tears and shove them up your ass. Have a good night. He hangs up and he goes, and before we close out this disgusting Wednesday evening, and you make your way to lay in bed with your unattractive significant others and watch your mindless TV until you drift off into your stupid dreams, I want to address all those doubting me, all those thinking that old Cruel Eddie isn't up for the challenge. If our mystery caller has the gall to call again, I will take his challenge and I will stay on the line, not for 5 minutes, but we'll see if he'll stay on the line with crazy Cruel Eddie for 10 minutes.
Are you making this up as you go?
Yeah, that's how this show works.
Okay, just want to make sure.
And then he goes, good night, losers, and flicks the microphone off.
Yes.
Yes. The producer approaches him. Eddie, what do you, 10 minutes? Like, last time this guy had you babbling and walking through the city at all hours of the night. And he goes, well, this time I'm going to have him babbling.
This time he's going to draw some blood.
Yeah.
This time he's going to be the one bleeding on the dance floor.
So Eddie is walking. He, you know, Eddie puts on his jacket. He lights a cigarette. He's walking out. He hits the elevator. The elevator's out, so he hits the stairwell. While he's walking down the stairwell, the lights go out. He goes, Jesus Christ! So he pulls out his lighter, and he's like trying to make his way down the stairs. And all of a sudden, we see this black, like, shadowy hand on the wrist of his light hand, and it goes, shh. and the light goes out. Eddie. Oh, yes. It's darkness. And then we hear that, Eddie, are you ready for the challenge of a lifetime? And he goes, what? We're seeing it from Eddie's point of view. It's all dark. And then we hear people chanting. It's like, we are here tonight with Cruel Eddie to see, can he hold the line? Can he keep his heart intact through the razor words of his opponent? And he goes, "What? Let me out. And they rip the bag from his head, and he's in the club, and it's well lit now. And we see all these freaky monsters, like, looking up at him while he's strapped to a chair on a stage. Mm-hmm. And there's a lady with a face of a seal. There's just, like, a giant snake in a halter top. It's, like, it's wild. There's a spider boy crawling on the ceiling. Name a few more creatures.
An otter.
There's an otter. There's an old man in a trench coat, and under the trench coat, it's just legs.
Mice. Yeah.
Well, there's another old man, and under his trench coat, it's just mice. And they're two best friends called Mice and Legs. Mm-hmm. And that's the name of this movie.
Gotcha, audience. Oh, God.
Okay. So he goes, what the hell is going on? And he like bites his lip. He's like, am I dreaming? And no, he's just drawing blood from his lip. And they're going, Eddie. And he's like, what the hell? Why? What do you want from me? And then this figure is actually all shadow. Like, it is, like, even now in this more well-lit room, it is just darkness in the shape of a person. Hmm. It leans down to him, and it goes, it's not you they're cheering for, Eddie. And it turns the chair, and who's he see but a version of himself. But this Eddie, he's all like staticky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like the shape of Eddie, but he's got like the visual texture of static, you know, like on the TV channel between channels.
Oh, I get it, yeah.
Yeah. And he's even making that noise a little bit. It's coming from his skin. Yes, yeah. And he goes, what the fuck is this? And he goes,
this sounded a big bang, Eddie.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Got deep
like
for
that.
A second.
What?
That got deep and technical.
Yeah. All right, take it for a minute. I gotta relax.
Take it for a minute. Dude, you brought me into a crazy room. I don't know where I am, who I'm talking to. This is your vision. You need to help me out.
Well, maybe I brought you to a crazy place because this is where you'll shine.
Well, oh, God, dude.
And you better not say, and then he wakes up and it's a dream.
And he's sleeping next to the old lady from Rec Room for a Dream.
Okay, all right. So, Eddie's like, what? Where am I? What am I? Am I in a coma? Did I fall down those stairs?
Is this death?
Yeah, and then the guy across from him goes, maybe, but this is where you are. So and it looks like you don't have much choice but to play the game. And he's like, fuck. And he yells out, Dale! And Dale's not there.
Mm.
So the him across from him, static Eddie, says, do you want me to tell you about myself? And he goes, okay, tell me about yourself. And he goes, well, I live alone. I've been in New York City for 12 years. Before that, I lived in Ohio. I haven't had a friendly conversation with another person in those 12 years. When I lived in Ohio, I lived with my mom. I loved my mom.
We lived in Ohio.
The kids at school called me Drool Eddie because I spat when I talked. They made fun of me. One day, they all brought umbrellas into school and opened them.
That's fucking
when I talked.
That's really good. And they all started chanting behind the spinning umbrellas. What do you call them?
Drool Eddie.
Drool Eddie, Drool Eddie. And they're spinning the umbrellas, and he's standing in the middle. The camera's circling him. Oh, I love this scene.
He goes, every single day broke my heart.
And he's got tears in his eyes.
No, he's made of static.
Oh.
So we couldn't really tell.
Static tears.
He's being a little stoic while he's talking. He's like, but I would come home and my mother would mend it. She would tell me I was a good boy and that one day I'd get my spitting habit under control.
Spitting habit? It's called a lisp.
No, he doesn't have a lisp. He like spits when he talks. Oh. Like,
just like the shape of his mouth.
Yeah, it's just a bad habit.
Like, he physically does it himself.
People with lisps don't spit when they talk.
All right, I didn't mean lisp. I meant just, you know, some people have, like, a small mouth or, like, their teeth are misshapen. They spit when they talk, but he's consciously spitting?
No, yeah, no. It is, it's like a, it's a, it's just, he's just, he's, it's just, he just spits when he talks, yeah. I don't know if it's structural or if it's behavioral, but he spits when he talks. He's Drool Eddie.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I believed her. I was a good boy. I was a good person, and I was going to grow up to be a good man. Until one day, I came home and my mother had drowned in all my spit. I don't know. That's not good. Help me out. What happened to his mother to make him, like, actually finally bad? He had come home from, like, the speech pathologist.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, well, he had made so much progress.
And his mother's standing.
Progress.
And his mother's standing in the kitchen with this guy in a white lab coat, and they're just talking. He's like, Mom, who's this? And she goes, sit down, Eddie. This is Dr. Klintskin, and he wants to help you. And he's like, yes, Eddie, I'm here to help.
No. He's wearing like a face shield to protect him from all the spit.
Yeah, yeah, he's like a face shield on, hands, gloves on his hands, shoes on his feet.
Gloves on his feet. He's wearing a big glove covering his whole body.
Yes, he's in a full-body condom, which is strange because he's a doctor. And Eddie's like, how are you going to help me? And the guy turns to his doctor's purse, and he opens it up, and it's this huge, like, mouth thing. It's like a mouth brace, you know, like old-school mouth brace stuff.
Yeah.
Dentist shit.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he takes it out, and it's like a big, it's like headgear.
It's glowing.
Yes, it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, because it's glowing. There's like no. It's not a huge headpiece. It's actually like this really subtle, like, retainer, but there's like a glowing element of it.
Okay. And he goes, now just stay still and open your mouth, Eddie. He has an accent now. And Eddie's like, no. And his
No. This part all goes fine, I think. And all of a sudden, and he's like, "Now talk, Eddie." And Eddie talks, and he could talk totally fine. He could talk wonderfully. There's no spitting. And he goes, "This is amazing.
The spit's going down right down my throat."
And it works. And then we see the next day he goes to school. Slowly, he actually starts getting along with the kids. He's not spitting. And then every day on the way to school, we have this montage. He gives his mom a big kiss on the cheek. And every day when he gets home, he gives her a big kiss on the cheek. So these two big kisses. And then he's coming home from school one day. And he goes to kiss her. And he sees this big brown mark on her face. And he goes, "Mom." And she goes, "It showed up in this afternoon." And then we see this progression of this hole being eaten into her face. Finally, you know, and now, and this is all voiceover because Static Eddie is explaining this. He's explaining that there was a radioactive element in the experimental mouth guard that was poisoning his mother. It didn't actually affect Eddie because he was young, and but his mother had to a certain amount of the population had a sensitivity to it, and the doctor knew this and gave it to him anyway. Mm. And that is what finally like cemented that cruel Eddie fucking hates people, and all he wants to do is make them suffer. Mm. And that's when Drool Eddie became Cruel Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eddie is sitting there, and he's crying, but he's clenching his teeth so much there's blood coming from his gums. He's fucking furious. And he rips the fucking arm off the chair like Arnold in Total Recall. And he goes, and he puts his hands around the neck of this static version of him, but they start bugging out, you know, like in altered states.
Mm-hmm.
Like they start melding into each other, and he goes, "Look around you, Eddie." And he looks around, he goes, "These aren't people. These aren't the people that hurt you. They're not people at all."
I think you've probably noticed that the guy with all the rats on their coat, but just wanted to clarify.
And Eddie realized, and then the shadowy figure like explains, like, all of these people have been misshapen by how cruel humanity has been to them. They were all normal people too, but they were turned into monsters by the cruelty they experienced in life. And he goes, "But what about me? I'm not a freak." And he's like, "You're a freak on the inside."
Insider freak.
And he goes, And they go, what do you want from me? Why'd you fucking call my show? Everything was fine." And they were like, "Was it? Alone every night, just waiting to die. Just making yourself comfortable until your heart stops ticking. And trying to hurry it along at that. Look around you now."
You're in a club. And he looks around and looks at the lady with the seal face.
Yeah, he goes, "You're in a club full of people."
Well, they're not people. You know what I mean.
Isn't this preferable?
And he's like, "Whoa, whoa," with the big words, mister.
And he goes, "I don't need anyone from anything from anyone." And then Static Eddie goes, "I do." And that's
where the movie ends.
And yeah, this is Well, this is what happens when you don't help me out. I just...
Dude, you brought me into dark rooms, and I cannot see my way out of this one.
That's the thing, is that's your job.
I was enjoying just listening.
He goes, I do. Oh, no, because this version of him is like his soul, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. The static version.
Yeah, and he's saying, and I don't want to go back to the darkness with you. And then he goes, fine, then fucking stay here. And he goes, not without my body. And he walks up to Cruel Eddie, and he pushes through him, and out of him comes this, like, black liquid creature, but it's, like, this almost the shape of a human skeleton, and it starts, and it's got, and that has Cruel Eddie's voice. It goes, what do you think you're doing? And then Static Eddie walks into Cruel Eddie's body, and he goes, you can go back out there. You can go back to your miserable life, but I'm staying here with these people. And it's kind of weird now, because the Static Eddie actually looks like a normal person, and Cruel Eddie looks like a monster. And then, so Cruel Eddie, like, does leave. He, like, slips out the door, and, like, he has to go up this weird stairwell, and he just comes out from a fucking manhole cover, and he's in, like, the middle of the city. And, like, he's just this weird, like, black skeleton goo creature, and people are horrified by him. And, like, we just see this night of his life. Like, he's trying to get back to his apartment. Like, obviously, the doorman won't let it. Like, he steals a trench coat so he can kind of give himself the shape of a human. Obviously, the trench coat, like, the doorman won't let him in. He tries to go to work, and they won't have him. And he has no choice. Like, he stumbles back to Times Square. He stumbles back to that manhole. He rips it open. He goes back down the stairs, and he goes back into the club. And he sees himself. He sees Eddie's body. Now, you know, now Static Eddie's in there. And Static Eddie is dancing, and he's laughing with people. And, like, really, the people are monsters and freaks, but he's really having a good time. And he goes... He walks up to him, and he puts his black gooey skeleton hand on him. He goes, give me back my body. And he goes, no, you gave me back my body. And he goes, where am I supposed to go? And he goes, you're welcome here. And Eddie, the skeletal black Eddie pulls his hand back, and he's about to punch, you know, this new Eddie, and then a bunch of the monsters kind of just grab his arms, and, like, you know, they pull him, and they make him sit in this, like, couch in the corner, and then he's just sitting there, and he's got nowhere to go except this weird monster club, and he's fuming, he's furious, like, you know, he just wants to go back to his nice apartment. And then someone walks by with a tray of drinks, and he's like, fuck it. He takes a drink. And then he's sitting there for a while, and he starts tapping his foot to the music. And then someone, this monster girl sits next to him. She flirts a little bit, and he kind of smiles, and then she gets up and she goes and dances. He lights a cigarette. He bums a cigarette, he lights it, he has a drink. And we see him smile for the first time, and credits.
Oh. And the audience goes, oh, thank God.
Why? It was no good?
I loved it for what it is. It's beautiful.
Yeah. You really left me a lurch there, and that's just where I went.
I just couldn't step into the nightclub the second time for some reason. I stayed outside.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I like how you handled it. You did well with what you had.
Yeah, weird story.
It started out okay.
I don't think it ended badly. It just got kind of... It became pretty abstract.
Yeah, it was just like a fever dream in the middle, which is good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do this again soon. Let me stop the recording.
Let's talk business.